Psychic Radio. WYCD.
HD3 Detroit.
KJAQ.
HD3 Seattle.
WBMX.
HD3 Boston.
And on AOL Radio.
And Yahoo Launchcast.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston. Are you in your head too much, overthinking and worrying all the time? In times like these, you need to find a heart's way to clear the blocks to being in your heart, where you can listen to your intuition and express your soul's purpose. This will assist you to gain clarity, step into your power, and lead from this place. I can support you to create space to find your own answers and trust your intuition. I can help you to get back to your authentic self and be more aligned with who you really are and your true soul purpose. As a result of our work together, your life starts to unfold, become aligned. Visit me at www.intuitivesoul.com and we can create a program that will assist you. Actually, I am giving away free 30-minute consultations on finding a heart's way. You just need to register with my website and let me know. So tonight is very exciting. We have author Jeff Brown. And Jeff and I have been doing quite a few shows on my Intuitive Soul Radio. And tonight we are here to discuss relationships. I think it'll be very good. Jeff is the author of Soul Shaping. And he can be seen at any time on his website, soulshaping.com. So welcome, Jeff Brown.
Hi, Lori. Great to be here.
It is. So yeah. We're going to talk about relationships and love. And, you know, one of the things you asked me to do is to look at your book called The Magical Mystery Tour, and it's on the love relationship or the love chapter in your book. And you have quoted a very nice quote. And, you know, this book, for anyone who doesn't know Jeff, is a very open and vulnerable experience that he has gone through. I mean, he is basically written about his own spiritual awakening and his own opening of his heart. And it is really a depth of emotion and experience that he goes through. And it's really touching because it's done from a man's perspective and moving through the, you know, the warrior energy and moving into this place of the heart. And so tonight when we talk about love, we're going to talk a little bit about this one experience that he had, which, as he quotes, it was as close to source as I could ever imagine, an irresistible surrender to the love-struck wellspring that sources the all. In each other's arms, we could not help but perfect the art of the heart of seamless presence. Even if we wanted to move, where would we go? We were already everywhere. We were already poetry in motion. It was as true a thing as I could ever imagine. I mean, that, for anybody, you know, creates a very heartwarming feeling. How do we, you know, we're going to talk about love and relationships, but, you know, at the state that we're in, we have so much of our own human development to go through. And, you know, we have so much of our own individual work to do. Yet, how do we sustain this type of profound love connection in this harsh and still unconscious world?
Well, I mean, I know I can only speak from this experience. And I think, you know, I remember even in the greatest, the most profound crack open stages with Rachel, I really felt like, you know, it was like a gateway to wholeness. It really was this profound glimpse into what seemed to me to be all that was possible, you know, like the ultimate way of being in the world in relation to other, and also just in relation to our breath and to the moment. It was that transformational. But even in those most profoundly open moments, and even after I had moved through the warrior resistance and was able to hold to it and keep my heart that open, I still felt as though it seemed almost close to impossible to hold it in the vibration of the world around me. You know, I mean, I do feel like we're still, so many of us are still vibrating at root chakra or survivalist stage of consciousness. And when we get cracked open to these profound glimpses, you know, it's almost like, and I think even more intense than, certainly for me, having a, you know, pulling out of the culture and doing the meditation trip for a long time and having these profound unity consciousness experiences and then trying to come back into the world. But I think in this case, that it was like I felt doubly transported, more transported than ever before. And, You know, and I don't have a simple answer for it. I mean, for sure, if both of us had done a lot more emotional work and had built stronger, healthy, egoic girders, you know, we could have held to the fire. She certainly could have held to the fire for a lot longer, I think. You know, she was in her 20s and I was in my 30s, and I was had just done enough work to be able to hang in there without destroying it, you know. But she really hadn't, and... you know, I do think when Jeannie Ochterberg wrote about uncommon bonds, and she said that really the ones that last are the ones where the people are older and have done a whole lot more of the individual work, so their boundaries are more firmly established, so when they go to that unity experience, they really have somebody to come home to. You know, if you haven't done that work and built those girders, I mean, who do you come back to after the fragmentation and the kind of particling that happens when love's that intense?
Yeah, and, you know, the other part of this is that, you know, we make these sacrifices. We settle for the ordinary. We don't always, when looking at relationships, go for this soulful connection. Often,
that's right.
You know, we are getting caught.
Well, I mean, everyone has, I think it depends a little on what your soul scriptures are for this lifetime, you know. I don't like to say that people sold out. I mean... You know, I'm not practical when it comes to love, but I'm not practical when it comes to my path. I mean, my soul scriptures in this lifetime are to keep pushing that edge. And in a prior lifetime, you know, a more settled, stable, reliable, kind of grounded connection might have been just what the soul doctor ordered, you know. I think the deciding factor is how frustrated people are in the connection, you know. If they're at peace with it and... it meets their other needs, and maybe a relationship isn't for everybody primary to their soul scriptures. Maybe it's something that's just supportive of their path, and they do the deeper, more sort of chaotic, transformative work in their art or in their other aspects of their vocation. I mean, I think every individual has to decide whether or not what we call sacred love and sacred sex connection is really intrinsic to their path in this lifetime.
Well, yeah, I guess that is... the big question. I mean, even any of this spiritual journey, whether it's, you know, what we're pushing ourselves towards or whether we are, you know, taking the gentle route, taking the softer way and not, you know, really being always aware of what's going on around us and really pushing ourselves. So there are a lot of different people on this path, and some of them explore it very thoroughly, and some explore it on a lighter level, and I think every bit of it is perfect. It's just that if this is what we're looking for, and it's certainly that is my journey, is looking for that type of relationship and having found a deep piece of it, but not certainly the whole package, it leaves me, you know, continually looking for the rest of it, or looking within myself as to what it is that I'm not, you know, what is it that I still have yet to do? And I think it's a very interesting journey that we exist on, because it truly is completely up to our soul scriptures, as you say. And Jeff likes to create all sorts of interesting words that come together in a way that, well, you'll hear them throughout the evening, I'm sure. But he's come up with his own dictionary, and it's very interesting.
Well, I mean, language out frames are important, you know. I'm just starting to look at the love book I have. My next book is going to be about love, higher consciousness, love connection, and you know, like I have a terminated passion on meditation, really. Because for me, like, that's really what it is. I was really looking for love connection to be a meditative trip, you know, one that was really ignited the heart fire, ignited the soul fire, ignited the genitals. I mean, really, for me, I have always longed for that connection which unites all aspects of my being and is really like my spaceship, you know. If I've made any mistake along the way, it's been that I've probably been more focused on the ecstasy and kind of gone straight there rather than doing what I write about, which is in practicing what I preach, which is really to ascend with both feet on the ground, not only in my individual path, and that's hard enough, but to also do it in union so that a connection actually starts in a more stable or earthbound place. You know, some people talk about it's important to start as friends. That always seemed ridiculous to me. Maybe it's not so ridiculous, you know? And then you kind of work your way up like that so that when you touch sky, you know, when you have that kind of juicy, profound, liquid God experience, you're actually earthbound because we're earthlings. You know, we really are. And, you know, what I'm finding very interesting about these questions, I was kind of meditating on it today, was it's just this whole question of, like, what the relationship between gender and sort of heightened love experience is. Because, you know, my most transcendent experience with Rachel, sexually, sensually, in all those ways, was also my most gender transcendent and my most gender inclusive one. So it was like when that gateway opened, can I just read a little bit?
Absolutely.
More? Yeah, okay. I think you read, yeah. We moved together until there was no felt distinction between our bodies. Her pleasure was my pleasure, my arms hers, her breasts mine. We became one unified body being, crossing the gender bridge with every breath. I was touching she who was me who was God. This was our body. We made love many times that night, and each time the soul fire ignited the heart fire, ignited the genitals, a wake-down call of the highest order. Afterwards, I marveled at the genderless nature of soul love. Together, our energies had bridged us into something higher, more whole, holier. Although it was sexual union that took us there, the chemistry was not gender-sourced, nor was the state we entered gender-identified. What got us there was the merging of our twin souls along the heart-genital highway. These longing souls didn't care about body parts. They just wanted to join their other half. And I wonder if this whole gender game isn't to some extent this fantastic opportunity, seen in the right light, for us to just reach a place in our individual development where we are all things. We are animus and anima. We are, you know, we are that assertive energy. We are that receptive energy. And that the love connection that we keep longing for, we long for it because we know on some intuitive level that it really is the rocket ship or the gateway that will allow us to both transcend, include gender, and actually achieve some degree of wholeness. The question for me is, what do we have to do on an individual level so we can both have that experience? And culturally, what do we have to do to support that experience? And what do we have to do developmentally so we can sustain that kind of an experience?
Well, those definitely are the questions, aren't they? I mean, it's completely this dance that we go through. And I think most of us, because we do learn so much through relationships, most of us yearn for that type of experience, but don't know how to sustain it, don't know how to hold it, and don't know how to surrender in the way that you had to do to allow the warrior to let go.
Absolutely. But a lot of things have to happen culturally so that that's sustainable. And, I mean, in your own experience, if you look at the, you know, I know you've had many or some crack opens into that vaster unity experience. What do you feel has to happen for you on an individual level, structurally in your life, developmentally, psycho-emotionally, so that when that experience comes, let's say that other person is willing and able just for the moment, and I know that's often theoretical, but let's assume that. What do you feel you have to do within yourself so that you can really hold that experience safe?
Right. You know what, Jeff? We're going to go to break right now, and I'm going to come back, okay, and we're going to talk about that. But I invite everybody. This is going to be a live call-in show. We actually have a few callers waiting. And give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. We also have an instant feedback right on the front page that you can write in a question. So we're going to go to break now. You're listening to Intuitive Soul on the Sky, Psychic Radio, powered by CBS.
Hi, I'm Sue Lundquist. I want to help you to embrace the life you've always envisioned. Listen to us on the I'm Thankful Network, Monday through Friday. Listeners from all the backgrounds come together as we identify the truly important aspects of life. The I'm Thankful Network is like comfort food for the soul. In short, we want you to be positively positive about where you are headed. Join us every weekday for the I'm Thankful Network. Fun, educational, and empowering. Tune in to find yourself all over again.
Well, I was sitting, waiting, wishing you believed in superstitions. Then maybe you'd see the signs. But Lord knows that this world is cruel, and I ain't the Lord, no, I'm just a fool. And I love somebody, don't make them love you. Must I always be waiting, waiting on you? Must I always be playing, playing your fool? I sing your songs, I dance your dance, I gave your friends all a chance. Putting up with them wasn't worth ever having you. Oh, maybe you've been through this before, but it's my first time, so please ignore the next few lines, cause they're directed at you. I can't always be waiting, waiting on you. I can't always be playing, playing your fool. I keep playing your part, but it's not my scene. Want this plot to twist, I've had enough mystery. Keep building. I'd put down all my ammunition. I'd wonder why it had taken me so long. But Lord knows that I'm not you. And if I was, I wouldn't be so cruel. Cause waiting on love ain't so easy to do. Must I always be waiting, waiting on you? Must I
the life you've imagined.
Look up to the sky.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself, a threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Believe. NewSkyRadio.com.
The purpose of Intuitive Soul is to master the path to heart consciousness. Tonight, I have author Jeff Brown, who's the author of Soul Shaping, and we're discussing relationships and how his book, Soul Shaping, sort of shaped his own soul and his own world. And tonight we're specifically talking about relationships. A question that was very interesting before we went on break, which I'm going to try to answer now. But this is a live call-in show. We have a couple people on the line waiting for us to talk to them. But do give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. So right before break, Jeff was asking what I sort of look for. Now, as an intuitive, I think I have some abilities that allow me to connect in with someone, whether it's, you know, through a picture or meeting them or talking to them on the phone. I have been doing the dating scene, which has been very interesting, and have decided that although it's been unique and I've learned a great deal, it's not exactly the online thing isn't exactly what I'm looking for. But what I need is a certain connection, and that connection varies in so many different ways, though, and it's not always obvious how that. Knowing that I have a connection allows me to open up to allow whatever is going to happen. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to lead to a romantic relationship. It may be a friendship. It may just be a spiritual learning, which I've discovered a great deal from lately. And, you know, some of the things that I had been missing because they weren't really part of my experience up until this point, or parts of me that I would sort of bend to not express because, you know, maybe the person I was with wasn't able to handle that. So it's been really interesting. And so I do look for a connection, but my connections are not exactly always obvious as to where it leads next. So I don't know, Jeff, I don't know if I could do, you know, necessarily the friendship thing first and then let it evolve. Usually there's a strong energy that moves first. So
yeah, like a karmic calling out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not sure I could, you know, do it either. but you know, I do like the idea of when I feel that charge, trying to step back from it. And, you know, I mean, I'm not 21 anymore, and I've been through enough to know that the way it feels now is not necessarily where we're going, and that, in fact, quite often the bigger the front, the bigger the back. The more profoundly ecstatic feeling it is, quite often when the dark side comes, it is really radical. And so there is something to be said for feeling the charge, balancing and holding the charge, not acting upon it as quickly, and allowing things to reveal themselves in a different way, like moving in a little bit more of an incremental way. But I'm kind of interested. I mean, I'm not going to act like I'm questioning you, but I am interested in this whole gender question. You know, I was reading over the love chapter today and reconnecting to my own kind of warrior journey, and so much of my journey in this life was about really coming into this life really as a warrior trial lawyer, and then on some level, you know, being pulled by that part of me I called Little Missy away from that towards a more receptive path. And it took a long time for me to realize that I wasn't here in this lifetime to kill the warrior. You know, I thought I was going to kill him with kindness, but that in fact, really what I was here in this lifetime to do is to become a more benevolent warrior. In other words, to add another archetype or another, like a healer archetype or another aspect or way of being to my soul shape, you know. And I just wonder if that isn't, if we just, you know, separate out from gender for a moment and see ourselves in human terms, if that isn't what we're all doing, you know, that like I came in this particular male form with these particular learnings, really all as part of this karmic dance towards a more whole or expanded soul shape, one that includes all aspects, animus, anima, receptivity, assertiveness, everything, and that you're doing the same thing in your way coming in a female body. But yet, at the same time, I recognize that we then pull out of that broader perspective, which I think would make us a little sweeter towards one another, and get caught in this gender madness. And, of course, that is the karmic field for our expansion, but I still wonder how we can find a way to interface as two genders, but at the same time hold this broader perspective that's almost trans or gender inclusive spiritually at the same time, so that even when we're acting out, we're understanding it as part of this dance of sacred and expansive imagination.
Yeah,
I mean, how do we do that, you know?
Exactly.
How do we do that? And, you know, I mean, this show is not about answers. If anyone's it really, for me, more about questions, because I that's where I am with this is, you know, I'm just trying to really articulate the inquiry.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, I very much am from this tantric perspective of, you know, through a relationship, through a sexual aspect, we can reach enlightenment. And through the tantric way is, you know, seeing God within your partner and seeing God expressed in both partners and truly learning how to honor that within one another and taking it to that level. But, you know, we do have some callers. They've been here since the very beginning of the show. Why don't we talk to at least Al from Florida and see what he has to say. Welcome, Al.
Hello.
Hi, Al.
How can we help you?
Yes, I'm a deceased daughter. I wanted to see if you could communicate with my deceased daughter.
I'm having a little problem hearing you, Al.
Me too.
I wanted to see if you could communicate with my deceased daughter.
Okay. This is a show on relationships and love. And do you have any questions about that more so? Because we're not, either one of us are really mediums, although I could connect in with her. I probably prefer to do that on a different show. Do you have anything that you want to know about love?
I'd like to ask something about my love life.
Sorry, I missed that again.
I guess I'd like to know about mine.
What's happening in your life?
Yeah.
Well, what is going on? Are you dating?
No.
Okay. And why are you at this point not dating?
Sure.
Okay. Is it because, I mean, is this partially why you called in, because of your daughter passing away? Was that recent, or was that, I feel that that was a few couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is your heart feeling closed?
Yeah.
Do you know what's closed it?
I guess it was that.
Hmm?
I guess it was that.
Your daughter's death?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You haven't had an opportunity, or you don't quite know how to grieve it?
Right.
Right. Yeah, that's a hard one. Have you done any therapeutic work, like with a therapist, around getting in touch with the emotions and trying to move the feelings?
Yeah.
That hasn't been effective?
No.
And that's why you want to connect with her? Lori, are there any ways you would suggest that someone could connect to a presence?
Yeah. Partially it is about what Jeff's talking about. I mean, one, you know, you need to go through that grieving process. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. There, you know, for you to open yourself up to a relationship, you really do need to sort of move through that grieving process. It doesn't matter whether the grief is from a lost love or a lost daughter. It's all the same. It is what's holding your heart from not being open. And once you sort of move through that, once you allow that emotional connection, once you allow that, you know, very vulnerable state of grief to have some sort of access, because right now it's really bottled up. And so that closing down has not allowed you to be open to experiencing other relationships. And once you can, you know, allow that out, then you will be open. And, you know, I think a relationship, once you're ready, you're not going to have a problem finding a relationship. They're all around you. There's lots of women actually that are interested right now. So it's more, you know, really getting in touch with that grief, really getting in touch with why you feel vulnerable to opening up to a relationship, and then allow that to sort of go through. I mean, your daughter is in a good place. She's not, you know, I don't know if there's some reason that you are feeling guilty over this. It feels like there is, but there's no reason to feel the guilt. There's nothing that, this was her exit point, and she chose it for your own growth, for her growth. And there are a few other people that are involved. And really, it's just about you coming to terms with that and allowing that grief to move through you so that you can really, truly get open. And I think that is probably your quest in this life, is to learn how to be open. And, you know, Jeff is somebody who really, you know, has gone through it. I would recommend, you know, getting his book, which is Soul Shaping, and going to soulshaping.com and, you know, getting in touch with some of the people that are on Soul Shaping. And there's some great people on Facebook that are part of his group. And, you know, there's a lot of people that can help you through this, but you have to take the first steps. And that's what I would recommend. Jeff?
Okay. Al?
Okay.
Al, do you generally have a hard time crying, releasing?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I can really relate to that. I wrote a lot about that in the book, and I still have a hard time with it. It's very easy for me to turn back to that cut-off mail trip, you know? So, I mean, one of the things that helped me was music or particular movies that brought me to those emotions. You can find anything in your world that, you know, will ignite those feelings and give yourself permission to surrender to that, even a little bit at a time. You know, that might be helpful.
Okay, we need to go to break now. So is that good, Al?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot for giving us a call.
Take care.
And give us a call now at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul on the Sky Psychic Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten. Enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons. No boundaries.
How the hell do we wind up like this? Why weren't we able to see the signs that we missed? And try to turn the tables. I wish you'd unclench your fists and unpack your suitcase. Lately there's been too much of this. But don't think it's too late.
Is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL. 248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
Intuitive Soul with your host, Lori Houston, is to master the path to heart consciousness through intuitive counseling and through clearing our energies. And tonight's show, we are with author Jeff Brown, who's the author of Soul Shaping. And we're discussing relationships and soul shaping. And we're looking at, you know, whether we're capable of relationships that we seek at this stage of our human development, you know, when we have so much of our own work to do, and, you know, how we can sustain such profound love connections, which, you know, he spoke about one particular profound love connection and a soul connection in his book, Soul Shaping, and it was on the love chapter. And, you know, we've been sort of discussing that. We do have another caller that I you know, Cindy, I know you're there and we will get to you shortly. But, you know, one of the things that I think about when I read your book and rereading it again tonight, you know, this issue with how love, the very profoundness of love, also brings up, you know, our deepest shadow work, all of our fears, all of the things that we need to do. And it's like the two come hand in hand.
Yeah, I mean, they're almost indistinguishable from each other. You know, I mean, I think what happens when we open up to that, when we're lucky enough to have that glimpse we never forget, you know, is that everything unlike itself, you know, love uncovers, let's say, great love uncovers everything unlike itself. And I think that's what happens. All the unresolved emotional material that's held in the collective unconscious, and that individuals were carrying around with us, all the unresolved material, all that unworked through stuff, everything comes up in that profound vulnerability, you know. That's why we armor ourselves, so that we don't have to stay in touch with what vulnerability is associated with in our histories and in our collective history. And that's why, you know, as you get older, it's not like you don't want it, and it's not like you don't believe in it, but at the same time, you're kind of savvy enough to know that it's a hot potato, you know. If you're going to open to that experience, you got to have the girders and the readiness and the willingness. I mean, you know, it's one thing to have a love ship, as I said in the book, but a relationship's a whole different story. I mean, you have to have a shared willingness to become conscious. You have to be at the developmental stages that are compatible, you know, so that you can actually understand one another. So you don't have somebody who's like emotionally 7 years old interacting with someone who's 22, because that's going to be a problem, you know. A lot of things that have to be in place. And I still believe in it enough to write about it. But at the same time, you know, one of the things that I think is so upsetting is how we beat ourselves up if we haven't found that one. Well, the reality is most people haven't found that one. And part of it is because we are at an individual work-through stage in human development. Not to say you can't find it, and not to say for some people it isn't easy. I mean, there are a few out there that have it not that hard a time together. But I think for most of us, really, it is when we make a leap towards that, we're making a leap towards something that's like a tiny bit ahead of where most of the world is vibrating. You know, so I think we have to be a little bit easier on ourselves, a little gentler with ourselves about the challenges and the things that come up. Because what comes up isn't always our individual stuff. Some of it really is a tapping into the collective. The jealousy is I call it a jab in the book, the jealousy, abandonment, betrayal trigger. Most everybody I know has that in their bodies, in their bones. And it isn't all about not getting tended to by their mother at the age of four. Some of it has to do with what the collective's holding. And so when you go to bed with someone, you're going to bed with them and their parents and the parents and ancestors before that. Everybody's in the bed. The whole mishpucha's in the bed with you. You know? And so if we really get that, maybe we're a little easier on each other and a little easier on ourselves when we can't quite achieve the nirvana that some of the love songs and Rumi writes about, you know? Mm-hmm. Not to become hopeless or pessimistic, but I think to be realistic might get us somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so
the book is in the bed. You know it's true. They're all in the bed.
they're not
in the bed the first few times, because everything, you had the crack open and the defenses haven't come up and you haven't seen the bad habits and you haven't, now the history from your own life hasn't come forward and, oh, you did that the way the ex-boyfriend who cheated on me did and all that stuff isn't there yet. But soon the whole mishpucha is going to be there. I mean, it's a courageous path to be able to sit in a bed like that with hundreds of people in the bed with all their stuff firing through your neurons, you know? It's something. It really is.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Listen, I'm a pro-panty kind of guy. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a beautiful path. But, you know, it's divine perspiration, and it's a hard path for most of us.
It is. So we're going to take our next caller, but do give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. We have Cindy from Phoenix. Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
So how can we help you tonight?
Well, I have, I don't know what kind of questions. I know I'm calling about a relationship question, and there is something that's happening in 2 weeks. And it usually when this takes place in our history together, me and my boyfriend, it impacts our relationship. It causes a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, and he will have an old friend, she's a woman friend and platonic, come and stay with him at his house. But she's very needy emotionally, and she likes to be manipulative, and she likes when she comes in, she's treated like she's the only thing around on the planet, and I'm not allowed to go over there when she's there. And so it causes a lot of stress in our relationship. My question would be, do you see the relationship surviving her visit, her up-and-coming visit?
Well, I have something to say before Jeff dodges this one, but, you know, you need to look at why it creates jealousy within you. And he needs to look at why he, you know, needs to have her there in such a full capacity that you're not allowed to be a part of it. So there's two aspects that really need to be looked at and identified and understood between the two of you. When jealousy issues come up like that, which I feel from you, even though you've said it's platonic, and I know that there's an aspect of you that believes that, there's also an aspect of you that does not trust that, or it wouldn't really bother you. And why she needs to be dolted on like that, why, you know, all of his energy needs to go onto her, is an interesting thing that needs to. So there's three people's dynamics that are working in play here, and there's no reason for it not to work. That's really not the question. The question is, you know, why are these three dynamics in play, and what is it that you're learning from them? But Jeff, have a go.
I don't know for nothing, but the only thing that came to mind was this term I have jabbed in the book, jealousy, abandonment, the betrayal trigger, and I know a lot about that from my own experience. And yeah, I guess the only question I would ask is, you know, what, I mean, independent of the wrongdoing, possibly of his behavior and him not having appropriate boundaries that are respectful of you, you know, and protecting your heart and all the rest of it, what's your piece in it? Like, what is your history with betrayal? You know, do you have an irrational, overreactive part in relation to jealousy? You know, have you looked at that question? Or and if you have, do you feel that your response is congruent with reality or a little bit of your own stuff, right?
Yeah, well, my history with betrayal is something that it's a work in progress and healing from. And he's completely aware of all my feelings on this. And she has made it she's manipulative big time, and she loves the attention when she comes over. She loves that I'm not allowed to come over when she's there. And she, you know, will get information from him on what I'm doing, which I consider private and confidential, and I've told him that. But it always somehow leaks into the conversation because she wants it. It's those kinds of things. It's a betrayal that goes on. And
he's not respecting your boundaries at all. He's not respecting your boundaries or your feelings at all from the sounds of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah, well, that sounds like, based on what you've just said, that's the missing piece, you know? I mean, you understand your betrayal history. He's not really, like, factoring that in. You're not allowed to come there when she's there. That doesn't really feel appropriate, unless there's a real legitimate reason for it. And it sounds like he's not really protecting your heart at all.
No. And my question would be, Lori, I know you're very intuitive. Do you see it surviving this event, relationship?
You know, yeah, Cindy, it's really about, it's not so much about survival, because you can survive anything. It's really, you know, it's really addressing these issues. And you know, okay, so you know the betrayal and the jealousy aspect, but as Jeff has pointed out, I mean, there are three different areas here that need to be looked at. One, why, you know, this woman can come in and create such an interesting dynamic in your relationship, and why he allows this, and why he, you know, does do this. We are going to have to go to break, though, Cindy. So why don't you stay on the line, and we'll answer this a little bit more. But it's an interesting dynamic, okay? So stay on the line. We're going to go to break. Give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul on the Sky Psychic Radio, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Join us for Dynamic Transformations. Acclaimed sound healer, author, and radio host Mark Patterson brings you a weekly inspirational message with your 11-minute miracle, followed by the best mediums, psychics, and best-selling self-help authors. Join us for the best new thought program out there, Dynamic Transformations with Mark Patterson, Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m.
CBS Radio's The New Sky. NewSkyRadio.com. New horizons, no boundaries.
Hello, baby, hello. Haven't seen your face for a while. Have you quit doing time for me? Or are you still the same spoiled child? Hello, I said hello. Is this the only place you thought to go? Am I the only man you ever had? Or am I just the last surviving friend? Your heart and let your feelings flow. You're not lucky knowing me, keeping the speed real slow. In any case, I set my own pace by stealing the show.
The life you've imagined. Look up to the sky.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself, a threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Believe.
NewSkyRadio.com.
My work is really on helping you find a heart's way and learning to listen to the gentle guidance of your soul. And tonight we have Jeff Brown, who is the author of Soul Shaping. His website is www.soulshaping.com. And we've been talking about relationships and how, you know, how we can move through our relationships, hold the sacredness, while we're also working on our own personal journey. Now, we have Cindy on the line, and she's been sort of talking to us about a situation that occurs and wants to know, really, I guess, you know, whether she can survive it. And, you know, Cindy, it's not about surviving. It's really about, you know, does this relationship meet your needs? Are you growing from it? And, you know, when you are in these situations, clearly this whole situation is bringing up all of your triggers and all of your shadow sides, as well as your boyfriend's and as well as this other woman who is supposed to be platonic, yet, you know, holds a very interesting space within your partner's life and seems to have some sort of control over it. That dance, that dynamic, it needs to be understood, and you need to heal from it, as well as you need to really, I guess, allow your boyfriend to understand that your boundaries, he's not respecting your boundaries, he's not respecting your heart, and he's not really protecting it, as Jeff said. And I think, you know, if this is okay for you, I mean, if you're still growing from it, then grow. Because, you know, my feeling always is, if you don't totally grow from it and understand it and heal from it, you know, you're just going to attract someone else that's going to give you something similar to also heal. I mean, at least it's a platonic relationship. Why it's being, I don't know. It's very strange to me. But, you know, there's a reason. And, you know, this whole, the dynamics between the three of you, it needs to be clarified more. It needs to be, he needs to understand why it upsets you, and you need to understand why he feels that, you know, this is how he needs to treat this particular person. It's very messy, kind of, but it's also a great opportunity to learn and allow your soul to grow. So, you know, it's not so much, you know, will it survive? It's what do you want to get from it? And, you know, have you grown as much as you can from this, understanding that your own worth and your own beauty? Or, you know, is there still something to learn? And is he, you know, on the rest of the time when he's with you, is he honoring your boundaries and honoring your heart? And then you make that decision, because it is only your decision to make. Okay?
Well, you're right, and I know all that, and I know what I'm growing from, that I'll never, ever do this again, and I'll smell it coming 10 miles away.
Okay. Well, give me a call back. Let me know what happens.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Jeff, in your book, you did talk about, you know, this that a lot of people, you know, don't create a soul connection when they're in a relationship. And, oh, wait a minute. We do have an instant feedback. Let me see what it says. It says, I find that both men and women are more reluctant and afraid of commitment, experiencing love more so than 20 years ago. Why is that? What has changed? And how do you approach getting what you want from a relationship? And this is Tina from Arizona.
Is that true that more people are afraid of commitment now than 20 years ago?
You know, to me, I think it's what our expectations of commitment are different. And maybe 20 years ago, everybody just assumed that the path was to get married, have kids. And now
really duty bound, really due to some kind of misguided notion of loyalty and duty, and yeah. a more practical basis for connection, right?
Yeah.
But it did have something kind of cool about it, which is this idea that, you know, you stand in the fire and you see it as a long-term process rather than as something that you leave after a four-month period of discomfort, right? I mean, I think that's kind of what she's talking about. You know, I kind of think we're moving in a good direction where it's like we've kind of shed this, we're shedding this notion of misguided duty and loyalty, but we haven't really come to the new paradigm. We're not embodying the new paradigm yet. We're not really sure what that is. You know, it has something about the soul and something about deeper connection, but at the same time, we're kind of like caught between a rock and a hard place because we're like, you know, we're still not quite able to hold the space for it. Developmentally and culturally, a lot of us, but at the same time, we don't want to go back to only practical. We want, you know, and I think it is a bit of a mixed up time, and I really have faith that we're going to move forward to a paradigm that's going to really incorporate groundedness as a basis for connection, like meeting somebody who's got characteristics that are, you know, good character and a loyal and sustainable connection and will deal with life and its challenges. Like, those things are essential even in soul connection, and that at the same time insist on something more subtle and some deeper karmic piece to the connection so that there'll be deeper growth in it. And to find a way, and I don't think we've figured it out yet, how to hold all of that at one time, I think that's ultimately the next step. I think we're moving in that direction. But I think it's going to take a little more time.
Yeah, I think we're all sort of experimenting on it. And the fact that there are, you know, more people that are single than ever in history, I think it's a sign that, you know, we are searching and we are looking. Wow, the hour's gone by very quickly, Jeff. It's been a great pleasure, and I hope to have you back on the show, and I'm certainly will have you again on Intuitive Soul Radio. People can reach you at soulshaping.com. Is there anything else you would like to tell anybody?
Website's getting changed soon, all kinds of other stuff added to it, so please check the website in a few weeks as well. And just only for everybody to, you know, not be so hard on ourselves when a relationship is challenging. It is a human condition, and I think we really have to understand that and support one another in that.
Okay, I'm Lori Houston from intuitivesoul.com. I encourage you, do email and phone consultations and readings, remote healings, and clearing for personal, home, and businesses. And I have a weekly online radio show every Thursday. My on hiatus until September. I have a summer holiday special, a 2-for-1 reading special. And I do have the free 30-minute consultation to find a heart's way and experience that gentle guidance of your soul. May love and joy be your guides to creating the life you desire. You've been listening to Intuitive Soul on the Sky Psychic Radio. Thank you, Jeff.